start out by looking closely at this picture. Those who are my age or older might recognize it. In 1955, Jim Jones founded the People's Temple in Indianapolis, Indiana. He continued to lead the cult until 1978. He moved it from Indianapolis to San Francisco in the early 70s. There he recruited members. He really got involved in left-wing politics. And then he raised money, kind of quietly, to build a compound for his cult in Jonestown, Guyana. In 1977, when his compound was completed, he convinced his followers to follow him to Jonestown and take up residence in that compound. Media reports within the next year began to surface of human rights abuses. So in 1978, Representative Leo Ryan led a delegation to the commune. They got on a plane and they went to Jonestown. They arrived in November of 1978. They found the human rights violations that they were expecting to find. And they also found that some of the cult members had signed on for more than they wanted. And they wanted to leave and come back to the United States. While attempting to board their flight, Representative Ryan and four members of the cult seeking refuge were murdered by gunmen sent by Jim Jones. He then ordered a mass suicide of his followers, taking the lives of 918 cult members, including 304 children. That's the background. That's the aerial shot of that result. Almost all 918 died from drinking cyanide-laced, we call it Kool-Aid, Flavor-Aid at the time. By the way, Jones refused to drink his own Kool-Aid. He took his life by self-inflicted gunshot. Drinking the Kool-Aid is an expression, meaning, and this is my definition of it based on some other definitions I kind of put together, swallowing what others are serving without question, even when it is poisonous. So a question for you. What makes 918 people drink cyanide-laced Kool-Aid at the command of a madman? To those of us on the outside looking in, it makes no sense. The answer? The answer is they had been taking sips of that Kool-Aid for years. They had begun swallowing the putrid spewings of bilge water Jim Jones had been serving for so long. They never questioned him when he handed them literal Kool-Aid laced with cyanide. So I'm going to make this statement, and then we're going to back it up as we go. And it's an answer to the question, are our kids and our grandkids being indoctrinated? Yes, our kids are drinking the Kool-Aid. So let's back it up. There are a few things that are instinctual at birth. For the most part, however, a child's mind is a blank slate. And that child writes on that blank slate, the things that he experiences, and the things that others teach him throughout his life. That same mind is eager. It's absorbing. It is naive. It can absorb anything. It wants to learn. But as a child, it does not have the ability to discern what is right and what is wrong, what is fact and what is fiction, if whether or not what he's being taught is true. So let me explain that. When we see this, we think hippopotamus. You laughed, right? Parker laughed. No, we think dog. Specifically, we think weenie dog. When we see this, we think cat. When we see this, we think four. Why? Why is this dog, this cat, and this four? Because that is what someone told us. That is what someone imprinted on our minds. A child's brain is capable of learning just about anything. You take a child, say, born in Italy, transport her before she ever hears the first Italian word, and you put her somewhere where the locals speak Klingon, she will grow up speaking Klingon with a Klingon accent. She will not grow up speaking Italian. She will not have an Italian accent. Mind can learn anything. She will learn that pain is to be avoided when possible. That when you cry, it brings mama. The dog equals dog and cat equals cat and 2 + 2 = 4. If, however, I take a little boy and I begin teaching him from day one that that equals cat, that that equals dog, he will believe it. Unless someone teaches him something different. And that's true even with things that look rational. 2 + 2 = 4. But what if I said I could prove to you that 2 + 2 = 5? Let's start with this equation. 20 - 20 = 25 - 25. Valid equation? 20 minus 20 is 0. 25 minus 25 is 0. So it's equal. We can start that way. So we factor out 5 and 4 for the 20s, and 5 and 5 for the 25s. We have 4 times 5 minus 5 in parentheses, because the 5s or the 4s are common. Same thing on the other side, the 5's common, so we factor it out. Leave the 5 minus 5 in the parentheses. Now, they're the exact same thing, so we cancel them out. We're left with 4 equals 5. If you substitute 2 plus 2 for 4, 2 plus 2 equals 5. Seems rational. Looks good. Seems to make sense. But if you learn the rules first, you see the flaw. You see, when you get to this step, and sometimes this is a rule that we forget, if within the parentheses the answer becomes 0, you cannot cancel it out. 0 negates whatever is multiplied by it. Therefore, it cannot be canceled before they are multiplied. That means the answer is what it started out as, 0 = 0. And it has absolutely nothing to do with 2 + 2. 2 + 2 is still 4. But if you take a child and you teach him 2 + 2 = 5 without giving him the rules to figure it out, he's going to go through life parroting that 2 + 2 = 5 unless someone shows him different. Now, I know that took a little bit of time, but I want you to understand that everything today is dependent on understanding that our kids absorb everything. They have blank slates, and they can learn anything, whether it's true or not, rational or not, right or not. They can learn it. And if they are being taught by the wrong people, if they are being given answers without reasons, if they are being given knowledge without understanding, if they're being force-fed poison, they will swallow it. Number two this morning, I want you to understand that someone is going to teach your child. What's the rule? Nature hates a vacuum. Therefore, the empty mind of a child is an invitation for the world to fill it with poison Kool-Aid. It is a blinking sign that tells Satan, come on in and bring all the garbage that you want, because nobody's filled my head with the good stuff. Go to our text. I'm going to give you an example of that. Why? Why, as Israel gets closer and closer to the promised land, why is God so adamant that they drive out all the inhabitants of Canaan? Why does he come back repeatedly and tell them, wipe them out, throw them out, tear down everything they've built, do not let them stay? Well, what do we read? Starting in verse 20, I am going to send an angel before you to guard you along the way and bring you to the place. Be careful, he wears my name, so don't mess with him. Obey his voice. Your enemies will be my enemies, verse 22, and your adversaries my adversaries. And he'll go before you, verse 23, and he'll drive them out. Do not worship their gods, nor serve them, nor do according to their deeds. Utterly overthrow them. Break their sacred pillars in pieces. Serve only the Lord your God. He will bless you. Now notice 27. I'll send my terror ahead of you. I'll throw them into confusion. Verse 28, I'll send hornets. But verse 29, I will not drive them out in a single year, that the land may not become desolate and the beasts of the field become too numerous for you. There's the principle. Nature hates a vacuum. And so God said, I'm not going to empty the land overnight, because if I do, something else is going to move into it before you get there. And so I'm going to let you take it gradually. But notice, even though it's not going to happen overnight, he says, verse 23, I'm going to completely destroy them. You're going to do your part too. Verse 24, I want you to remove every last piece of evidence of their teachings. I'm going to put a boundary around you, verse 31, to protect you from them. Verse 32, I want you to have absolutely nothing to do with them. Why? Because of verse 33. They shall not be in your land, lest they make you sin against me, if you serve their gods, it will surely be a snare to you. Principle, nature hates a vacuum. God says you got to drive them out. Can't have anything to do with them. Why? Because God knows. God knows that if the parents of Israel do not do their jobs, if they do not fill the minds of their children with a knowledge of God and a knowledge of His ways, Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9, teach it to them day and night, standing up and laying down and walking, and in every chance you get, fill your children with an understanding of who I am. God knows that if they do not do that, any remnant left in Canaan is going to fill their minds with garbage. Was he right? Yeah. It doesn't take long before Israel's bowing to the same gods that the Canaanites are bowing to. Doesn't take long that they're literally sacrificing their children to the false gods. It's the same principle today. Someone is going to indoctrinate your child. Someone is going to teach your children. If we do not do it, if we do not fill them with the milk and the meat of the Word, Hebrews 5, 13 and 14, the world's going to fill them up with poison Kool-Aid. And it's a real interesting thing there in Hebrews 5. That milk and that meat are supposed to get those kids to the point that they can discern right and wrong, good and evil. So we are teaching them the principles of critical thinking, of the ability to look at the evidence and make a decision for themselves and not just parrot what somebody else tells them. And I said the world's going to teach them. The world is indoctrinating our children 24/7. 365 days a year, and when they get a leap year, they're going to take advantage of it and go 366. Disney Channel, Nickelodeon, History Channel, Nat Geo, ABC, Sesame Street, Marvel. All of these things are telling your kids what to believe. They are telling your kids what to parrot. Let me give you an example. And I could use the example I used in the article about Sesame Street or Disney Channel, but I'm going to give you one that's even more recognizable. What was the first slide that I showed you? Do you remember the very first one that had the title on it? All right, that is what? It's what we're told is a T-Rex. What do your kids know about it? Or your grandkids? Well, if they parrot the party line, what they know is it lived during the Jurassic period, 243 to 233.23 million years ago. That it's this giant lizard. That it's the fiercest of all of them. That it's tremendously fast, it's this ferocious killer, it's this lethal hunter. And most likely, your kids can parrot that line. They've seen Jurassic Park, Jurassic World, Jurassic Kingdom. They've picked up the books in school, they've turned on the National Geographic Channel or the Animal Planet or the History Channel. Do you know what the evidence says? Have you ever seen the truth about T-Rex? Number one, he lived at the exact same time as man. That's not just because the Bible says so. That's because we have paintings on cave walls from the time that they were walking the earth with man, and we knew what he looked like. We've also got the footprints in the same soft rock, one on top of the other. Do you know he's more akin to a bird than he is to a lizard? His bones are more bird-like. And we've now figured out that even T-Rex was probably fuzzy or had feathers. Do you also know he's responsible for garbage cleanup? We finally woke up and realized the anatomy of T-Rex is not hunter. It's not runner. It's not killer. His job was to be the buzzard and the possum and clean up the carcasses. But in spite of the evidence, the perception continues. He's the dominant dino in every show. And he's the one that your kid wants the action figure of. Why? Because Jurassic Park's franchise crumbles if T-Rex is digging in the trash can looking for chicken fingers and fries. He has to be the dominant one to keep it going. What's the big deal? Oh, we're just talking about cartoons or movies or books or figurines or whatever. Well, the big deal is they have to keep poisoning the Kool-Aid to prop up the myth of evolution. And that makes God to be a liar. And that makes the Bible a bunch of myths. And it makes us look like idiots to our kids. Christianity becomes a joke because what we believe doesn't match up to what they're being told to parrot. Our kids are being indoctrinated. All with the intention of undermining Christianity, undermining the truth. Our kids are being served the Kool-Aid of evolution. Our teachers are handcuffed. They're not allowed to teach creation as an option. You know, that's one thing when it happens on a high school level. And, you know, states tying your hands and the federal government's tying your hands and stuff. But we were talking about, with my young adult class just recently, a professor in the Department of Physics and Astronomy at Ball State in Muncie, Indiana. Okay, so we're talking about kids that have graduated high school, supposedly been taught to think, and then have gone on to higher education. They're supposed to be the cream of the crop. Intellectually. In 2013, he taught a course called The Boundaries of Science. Somehow, an ecology professor from the University of Chicago got wind of what he was teaching. And as if it was any of his business, of course, he butted in. And his description was that this course was heavily loaded with intelligent design, Christian apologetics, and counter and no counteracting views. In other words, he didn't talk enough about evolution. He contacted Ball State. Ball State didn't do anything, so he called Freedom From Religion. And of course, they jump at that opportunity. Oh, this is a violation of the First Amendment. So you get Freedom From Religion involved, and Ball State responds immediately, and they remove his course from the curriculum. Not only does academic freedom not include the right to teach a view contrary to the Big Bang and evolution, we are not even allowed to give college students a chance to think, to reason, or to weigh the evidence. We're expected to pass on the poison Kool-Aid and parrot the party line, even with the cream of the crop. Teach your children to look at the evidence. We're going to deal with that more tonight. Teach your children to think critically. What do we say in Bible class? Truth will always withstand the evidence. Teach your kids to think critically about evolution. Where is this half ape, half man that gives any weight to the theory? Where's the link? Our kids are being taught that gender is fluid. That you can identify as whatever you want to identify as. An article earlier this year in Women's Health identified 12 genders. But I'm going to one-up that one. An article in 2019 in Healthline identified 64 genders. All right, let's start with this. Is it 12 or is it 64? Or is it 2? Did you know that there are still only 2 options on a birth certificate? Now then, Freedom From Religion will probably get wind of what I just said, and that'll have to change. But that's because when you're born, that's the only 2 options there are, and it's based on anatomy. The doctor makes the determination, that's a boy that came. That's a girl. Did you know God only made 2? We've got a generation of children, though, that are being taught that's not accurate. And if we're not teaching them, they may not even know that there's only 2. By the way, did you know our natural world recognizes 2 and knows the difference? 2 bulls don't shack up. I've got a good one for you, though. Think about this. If evolution's true, all right, that's a huge if, but if it's true and we're evolving and we've gotten to, we're the pinnacle of evolution, supposedly. We're the highest creature on the chart. But we're not smart enough to figure out that male goes with female and female goes with male. Evolution just met the end of the road. Because we're going to die out. I could go on like this all day. Doctrine after doctrine and teaching after teaching that your children, our grandchildren are being fed on a minute-by-minute basis. A lot of these subjects we will cover individually as the study continues, but this morning I want you to get this point. Satan is serving poison Kool-Aid. He is serving it in our schools, despite the fact that we have teachers who don't want it served. It is being served in our media channels, through our kids' friends. It is being served by every means possible. And it is killing our kids because too many parents are not equipping their children with the truth and with the ability to think critically. We're going to deal with those 2 things tonight, so I beg you to come back online, come back in person. We're going to talk about, as parents, how we combat this by teaching our children there's a standard of truth and that they can think. But for now, the resounding answer is yes. Are our children being indoctrinated? Yes. Left, right, and center. And it is intentional, for the purpose of undermining Christianity. And Satan has a huge budget. And he spends a lot more time influencing our children than we do. It's time to fight back. And that starts by teaching our kids that there is truth. That you can know the truth, and that truth will set you free from the garbage of the world. I want to give you a ridiculous illustration of some of this poison Kool-Aid, and then we're going to extend the invitation. The phrase has become, I identify as. And we make up pronouns, we misuse pronouns, we get to choose what pronouns. We get to be whatever we want to be. I am going to identify from this moment on as a Western Stellar Seal. And you can't do anything about it. And the reason I'm going to do that, because it is the mammal in the United States that gets the most grant money, because it's endangered. And so if there's only 50 of us left, and last year they gave us $22 million, I get 1/50th of that, because now I'm a Western Stellar Seal. That is the Kool-Aid that is being poured into our kids' cups. And they don't know any better, so they drink it. Mamas and daddies, it starts at the cross. You have to get your children to understand that God created them, God died for them, and God is trying to save them. And He is the only one that has an opinion about this that matters. And if they will learn to look at these things critically through the eyes of God, they will see just how ridiculous it is. If you're not a Christian, what example are you setting for your child? If you're not a faithful Christian who believes these things himself and teaches them, what example are you setting your child? And if your children are not Christians, are you teaching them? Are you letting the world teach them? If you're subject to the invitation this morning to obey the gospel, to rededicate your life to teaching your children, whatever, please come as we stand and sing.